Welcome to Slaughterhouse Princess, Episode 2, where we will be discussing Hellraiser. It will tear your soul apart. Welcome to Slaughterhouse Princess. I'm Chris.
I'm Brett.
And tonight we'll be discussing Hellraiser.
It's a good one.
It's a touching story of evil boxes, sadomasochism, and some questionable special effects toward the end. We start off in, some godforsaken land. We're a filthy
somewhere in Central Asia.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Looks like we're about the Mogwai.
Yeah, we cut to Frank, who is buying the puzzle box from the guy who sells Mogwais. At first, he hands him a single dirty stack of money, which isn't enough. Another stack of filthy money, which is the exact amount of filthy money one requires for a puzzle box. And then he gets the puzzle box and returns home to unknown place.
The black room.
Proceeds to solve said puzzle box, which, I'll be honest, defies the laws of physics in the very nature in which it operates, because it clearly is not built in a way that it can move in both of those ways simultaneously, but I digress. Solves the puzzle box and is greeted by the Cenobites.
Cenobites.
Not to be confused with Cinnabons.
They do sound delicious.
I would not eat a Cenobite.
Pinhead is not very edible looking.
I certainly wouldn't eat it. Maybe that girl Cenobite.
Yikes.
Any old who. He solves the puzzle box and is rewarded for his efforts by several chains which tear him into tiny gross pieces that are collected by the Cenobites.
And he paid money for this.
Yeah,
a lot. Two dirty stacks.
I could think of a lot better things to do with two filthy stacks of money that don't involve demons rendering me into pieces. But hey, whatever. Render, by the way.
I'm not here to judge lifestyles.
And we skip some time, I don't know, unknown amount of time to the future.
Who knows?
Where his brother, I forget, I think it's Larry.
Probably.
And his twat of a wife.
Ugly twat.
Ugly twat of a wife, Julia, are going and checking out Frank's old digs. Frank's nowhere to be found. They assume he went off on another one of his wild misadventures to buy questionable objects in Morocco from people.
So they live in the house.
Because that's what you do when your brother goes missing. You live in his gross, dilapidated house. So they decide to move on in. We're introduced to Frank's daughter, Kirsty?
No, it's not Frank, but the
brother.
Oh, no,
brother. I'm sorry. Larry.
Larry's daughter.
Kirsty.
Kirsty.
Row. And we go through a little moving in sequence. And as we're moving in with some creepy movers, Frank cuts his hand, and for whatever reason decides the best
course Larry!
Larry.
Cuts his hand.
Ruining everything. I should be ashamed, but I'm not. So Larry cuts his hand and decides the best course of action is to wander three floors up to the attic to show his twat of a wife that he cut his hand. And when he bleeds on the floor, it awakes Frank's.
That's a pretty neat scene, though, when the blood soaks into the floor.
I mean, it's cool, but it just leads.
It's 1987, bro. Calm down. We were eight.
The entire first 20 minutes or so of this movie is kind of an incoherent mess. I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Blood leaks into the floor, that's when it starts rolling.
Yeah. The blood leaks into the floor, and Frank's.
The reanimation scene is fucking sweet.
That is pretty great.
The reanimation scene in Hellraiser is one of my favorite all-time horror movie. I don't care what year, scenes. That is just one of the most badass, gruesome things.
It is pretty rad, and it's all practical effects.
Because
as you kids might not know, back in the day when I was a boy, we didn't have none of them fancy CGIs.
We had slime and plastic.
We didn't have them avatars and what have you and so forth.
With your hula hoops and your Dan Fogelberg records.
All we had was Karo syrup and food coloring, and we were thankful. But I digress.
That was in Carrie.
Yes, it was. It's a good movie, too.
Right.
But any old who. So Frank is reanimated by the blood.
Of his brother.
Of his brother Larry.
Larry.
And he comes back in a pretty sweet scene. Into a slightly more cohesive form than he was before. He's still kind of a gross zombie.
I think he just had like pretty much tissue and bone at that point.
Yeah, he's not fully
heavy muscle
developed.
He had organs, tissue, and bone. Then it starts and Frank has Julia go out and kill the fellers. Or no, bring the fellas to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then he kills him, and he gets more of his parts back.
Yeah, it says we're treated to a scene where we see the extent of Frank and Julia's relationship.
They kiss, and it's gross. He looks sticky.
Oh, well, no, there's the flashback first.
Oh, yeah, the flashback.
Where we flashback to before they got married.
Son.
Yeah, just some super sweet 1980s softcore loving. It's gross.
You get to see one boob, but you don't want to see it, so, I mean, it's kind of...
It's like your mom's boob. Like, you saw it, but, man, you ain't happy about it.
True.
And then we see that before their wedding, Frank and Julia copulated in a rather 1987 kind of fashion.
They'd done it.
And ever since then, she's had warm, loiny feelings for our man. Loiny.
Yeah. Loiny, I do believe that's the high five. Oh, Wes.
Take that. I don't care what you say. I'm high-fiving people. Internet. Any old ways. So Julia finds out that her man, Frank, has come back. And she does what any rational person would do and agree to help this half-formed corpse monster in dragging people home from the local bar.
Seducing them at the local bar.
This woman couldn't seduce you at gunpoint. Not to point out a flaw in this movie's narrative, but I've seen more attractive things getting scraped off the road by local city workers.
With road scrapers.
And I was like, man, that's a lot hotter than that chick in Hellraiser, at least. So she deuces some British gentleman. I'm going to call him Howard, because sure. I don't think they ever say his name.
You're just going to wind up calling him Frank anyway, instead of Larry, or Howard.
Ooh. Too soon, man. Come on.
Sorry, my bad.
I'm new at this.
Can be.
So she brings back Howard, because I said so. And Howard doesn't seem to think that it's weird that she wants to cheat on her husband in this gross, dilapidated attic room.
Come back to the attic, because that's where people have sex.
She says, I like it on the floor, she says to
We
Howard.
Don't need a bed.
And Howard just like, dope. Boing, boing, boing. I sure wouldn't mind hitting this... school teacher looking lady.
And school teachers in the 80s were ugly.
She sure is passable when I'm drunk at noon at a bar. So she whaps dude with a hammer, which is pretty dope.
Classy.
And then Frank eats his delicious life forces and becomes somewhat more solidly formed.
He gets his muscle.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the stuff with Frank is pretty great. The effects on him are pretty neat. I can get behind it.
Yeah. Frank is one of the... You don't see much of the Cenobites, but you do get Frank.
And then we cut to a scene involving Larry and his daughter. Well, Larry says, you know what? Julia's acting a little peculiar. She won't leave the house. I think something's up. Why don't you go be pals with her? So the daughter, dutifully, as a good daughter, decides, okay, well, goes to the house to see maybe if I just befriend gross Julia.
A new stepmom.
That she'll come out of her shell. But sees you're dragging another gentleman home from the bar, who I'll call Paul.
I was going to call him.
That's a good name. I think we'll stick with that.
Ben.
So she drags home.
Ben.
Ben. And all the while, Kirsty is watching from the shrubberies out front of the house. And she thinks to herself, well, that ain't right. I better go see what's going on. So as Kirsty is going through the back door... Not a euphemism. Actually through the back door. Upstairs in the attic, which, by the way, just to say so, the attic room is pretty cool. I dig it. It's got a real creepy vibe. I think the door looks kind of burnt for some reason. I thought that was cool. But I digress. So Kirsty goes up there just in time to see good old Uncle Frank sucking the delicious soul juice out of Paul Ben.
He's a people juice eater.
And it leads to a pretty good scene involving Frank, all being half-formed, bloody, wearing a suit, saying, hey, it's okay, Kirsty, it's me. It's your Uncle Frank.
Don't mind my lack of skin.
Proceeds to tell her how she's very beautiful. She's coming along nicely in her development into a woman.
He wants to make it.
Decides he's going to do what any rational person would do in that situation and eat her soul juice. She spies the puzzle box out of the corner of her eye. Frank flips his shit at this development, demands the return of the puzzle box.
Well, that was two dirty stacks of money. That's dirty, not no fuck-around box, you know?
Filthy money doesn't just grow on trees.
Nope, it comes from dirt.
It comes from something I don't want to know about, for sure.
Dirt.
So Kirsty throws the puzzle box through the window, which inexplicably causes Frank to stop trying to eat her soul juice and gives her time to run away, and then she grabs the puzzle box outside and takes off. But as she flees the scene... She becomes overcome with the vapors and has to sit a spell. And when she comes to, she finds herself in a hospital.
Yeah.
Questionable hospital. I've never seen a hospital.
Dude, all horror movie hospitals, especially in the 80s. Remember the hospital in Jacob's Ladder?
That's a good movie.
That was great.
That is a fun movie.
Yeah.
And by fun, I mean terrifying.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Agent Orange and all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
We've digressed.
Often. But hey, it's the people have spoken. They want digression.
Shut up.
According to my metrics.
Statistically speaking.
I got research and development on this, and they're telling me.
Can you fax me your email?
Precisely. So then we got our girl Kirsty waking up in the hospital, feigning like she doesn't know what's going on. And the doctor says, "You know what? You were clutching this puzzle box and refused to let go of it. So maybe this will help." Leaves her the puzzle box, locks her in the room, because that's what you do with people. Lock them in hospital rooms when they suffered freakouts of some sort, I suppose. And as she's sitting in her hospital room, she solves the ancient mystery of the puzzle box. Which apparently takes anybody who touches it 35 seconds to figure out.
You have to touch the circle.
Yeah.
So if you ever get the 230 stacks of money puzzle box, do not touch that fucking circle.
Yeah, that's a word for me and my friend to you. Okay. Don't be touching them circles with your filthy money puzzle box. As bad things will happen. And by solving the puzzle box, she releases the Cenobites. And we get...
Delicious.
Our friend and yours... Well, as he's known in this movie, Lead Cenobite. He didn't actually have a name yet. Nobody had a name yet.
Yeah.
But as you...
And originally, Pinhead, the pins were meant to be bejeweled.
Bejeweled? Like, yes. Like they're going to bedazzle his face?
Yeah. Look it up.
I refuse, because that just...
It's true.
Thumbs down to bejeweled pinheads.
Read it on correct.com.
Oh, yeah. They're well known for their accuracy in reporting. You heard it here first, folks. Crack.com, always right.
That is weird, though, that he wasn't Pinhead at first. He was just the head Cenobite. Lead Cenobite, sorry.
Lead Cenobite and Lady Cenobite.
Yeah.
And I don't recall...
Biter Cenobite, maybe? Because you had the guy that gnashed his teeth.
I know the guy with the glasses is the engineer.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what Chompy's name was. But I call him Chompy.
Oh, Chompy.
I just think it's cute.
I like the big scorpion monster.
The scorpion monster. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Oh, I thought we were.
Simmer down. But she solves the puzzle box, which in turn opens a creepy door in the wall that she decides, hey, creepy door in a wall in a locked hospital room.
That's for me.
I should go in there. Because I assume if you're listening, dear listener, you're familiar with horror movies. And as we all know, when inexplicable creepy nonsense occurs, you should rush directly towards it. I think we all can agree.
It's the safest.
It is the only reasonable thing. So she starts walking down the infinitely long hallway and is accosted by Two-Faced Scorpion Monster.
Double dog face skinned inside out scorpion monster.
Which, fun fact, if you look closely, you can see a dude pushing it in one of the shots.
You can.
That's pretty cool. I like it. It just goes to show
that Hellraiser's a badass movie.
So it chases her back out of the inexplicable doorway, which shuts behind her. And then everything kind of goes sideways. There's a pretty cool effect with the walls, where they kind of go negative, and then smoke pours through the cracks.
Yeah, the smoke and the lights.
And then the Cenobites all are on the scene.
Delicious.
And Kirsty, justifiably, is like, well, what in all manners of fuck is even going on here? And our boy Pinhead informs her that, hey, just solve the puzzle box. We show up.
He at least doesn't, rip her immediately to shreds. At least he, gives her a heads up, why we're here.
And, I can understand. After you see Pinhead in this movie, it totally makes sense why they decided that was the main character.
Yeah.
Because I think originally they were going to have Julia and Frank be the main Cenobite enemies in this.
Yuck.
Going forward in the sequels. The sequel for this was greenlit before this one was even done. The
sequel's good.
The first couple are good. The first two are good. After that, it's some direct-to-DVD poopery. Not potpourri, but poopery. Poopery's like potpourri, but less fun to smell.
And more like poop.
And a lot more like poop. So then, Pinhead explains to her, by virtue of solving the puzzle box, you are the winner.
winner, chicken dinner.
Unfathomable pain that will somehow circle back into pleasure.
Didn't even cost you two dirty stacks of money. We're just giving it to you.
And she says, well, what are you guys? And he says, well, we're demons to some, angels to others.
We from hell.
And she respectfully declines his generous offer of suffering and torment.
Turns it down, took everything inside of her. getting ripped to bits is fun, but yeah. I know a guy.
But she says, hey, you know this fellow named Frank? Because boy howdy, did he pull one on you jerks.
He run off on you.
And no, Pinhead, he didn't. Pinhead is intrigued. Lady Cinnabite, she says, well, hey, what if we still want you? But Pinhead's like, no. I want him to say it himself. I want to hear it out of his mouth. But if you're lying, Pinhead, we are going to tear your soul apart. And I got to be honest, I'm saying some Pinhead lines, but this dude... This
Pinhead
dude is
the main.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Pinhead.
Yeah, he's super great.
He's one of the... He's not as well recognized as your Michael Myers and your Jason Voorhees, but Pinhead was one of the great, technically in the 80s, towards the end, because I'd say 2 probably came out in like 89.
Yeah, well, this isn't a... This isn't a slasher, though. This is definitely more of like an occult.
Not a slasher, but he's the main scary guy.
He's a creepy fucking dude.
Right, yeah, he's hardcore. Pinhead would win in a fight because he's got the hell hooks in a box.
I mean, he is a legit demon.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that
Jason's
wins.
Just some busted kid that drowned.
Yeah,
Michael Myers killed his family and hunts his sister.
Are we talking the real Michael Myers or that Rob Zombie nonsense Michael Myers?
It's the same thing.
Okay. Well, let's save this particular debate for when we have a little more time. I don't think now is the right time for that.
I guess.
Don't start with me.
We've digressed.
So we cut back to the house where Larry has come home, and Frank is like, so, here's what's up, Julia. I'm going to be eating that dude, and I'm going to take his skin.
His skin. Boy, you get a lot blacker doing these.
That's racist.
No, it isn't.
Okay. So he skins Frank, eats his delicious people parts and whatnot, like you do.
To get his people parts back. You gotta eat people parts if you want more people parts. If not, you're just a dummy, you dummy.
Don't be a dummy.
you big dummy. Dummy.
And then Kirsty arrives back at the house.
From the hospital door and the scorpion double inside out dog monster.
Because now she is convinced her father is in mortal peril. But little does she know, she's too late. Daddy done been skinned and is getting wore about.
His people juice got ate.
Ate up all them people juices. So she busts in the door. Oh no, okay. I'm speaking with hyperbole. She knocks on the door and respectfully waits for someone to answer it. And Julia's there and she says, hey yo, Skanky. Where my dad's is at? And she said, well, your father is located directly indoors.
None of these are direct quotes.
Please address.
You're going so back and forth. You like the Chappelle show. You go from being the white reporter to being at the player haters ball.
Yeah, I'll be funny.
Hate.
I'll be funny for 2 years and then I'll quit inexplicably over creative differences.
True.
So Kirsty goes back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And goes to Frank Larry.
For Clary.
That sounds Yiddish. For Clary.
Oi.
And this part kind of sticks out to me as I didn't get it. She's talking to the guy, Flary, and he clearly is bleeding from underneath his hairline, but she never notices. Not one time. I thought that was weird.
Don't you?
Bleed from my hairline?
Yeah.
Not only on Wednesdays.
Shit.
You should get that looked at, dog.
Nah, I'll just keep the hood on. Anyway.
So she says, man, guys, you gotta watch out, because Frank is a skidless flesh monster zombie. And he's got nothing but bad things in store for y'alls.
Nah, Frank's got skin now. He's got Larry's skin. That's why he's Flary.
But Flary says, hey, don't worry, girl. We got this.
Shit.
We have taken care of this situation. Go on up and look if you don't believe me. Everything's fine now. So she goes up in the attic and sees her dead, skinless father laying in a heap. And justifiably is not pleased by this turn of events.
This isn't fine.
But she's under the impression that it's Frank right now. But still, it's nasty, man. You don't want to see that going up in the attic.
It do be nasty.
And Cinnabites show up while she's up there looking at this flayed corpse. And Pinhead, not very happy with this turn of events.
He's going to tear souls apart.
And Kirsty says, no, you got it all wrong. That's my dad down there. Pinhead says, nah. Nope. You take me to who did this. Because I'm pretty sure your dad did not do this. But she says, nope, and runs off to go warn them about the Cinnabites.
She should have sold out Flary.
Yeah, but at the time, she's still convinced that Flary is in all actuality Larry.
Dumb broad.
So she goes to warn them about the Cinnabites. It says, we got to get out of the house. And as they're leaving, Flary decides, you know what? I'm going to stick her in the gut with my switchblade, and I'm going to eat her people juice.
Because he's a people juice eater.
But she deftly dodges his shank move and ends up sticking Julia. And he's like, well, in for a penny, and eats her people juice instead. And it's the only time people you actually see
people
him.
Juice.
Hmm?
People juice is people juice.
I mean, you can't let that go to waste, man. That's wasteful. There's starving kids in other countries.
That want people juice.
They would be happy to have that people juice. And you're just going to waste it, you decadent swine.
Right in a bucket.
In a bucket?
Mm-hmm.
Bucket of people juice?
I'll fuck around.
That's nasty.
You're nasty.
You're nasty.
I'm nasty.
And Julia, not very happy about this turn of events, takes off. And then the Cenobites decide that they've had enough of this nonsense.
Wait, didn't they stab Julia? Didn't you say? And then their people just got Kirsty ran off.
You're right.
There we go.
I made a mistake.
I'll be. You're
why,
be.
Why, yeah, I was going to say, why are
Shut
you
up!
Sorry? I'm the fuck up here. So Kirsty is cornered. But the Cenobites show up. And they decide that old Frank got to pay the piper. There's a toll. And it's his fleshy bits. So they string him back up. In his little hook getup.
That he paid two dirty stacks of money for.
Still a horrible, horrible use of money. A terrible investment. Burning it would have actually probably been a better use of
it. Yeah, you get to eat a lot of people juice.
Yeah, I mean.
A lot.
It must be delicious.
Probably. Frank likes it, hell.
So they take care of the whole Frank problem. Flary, if you will.
Flary.
But they decide, you know what? Not good enough. Next on the agenda, you're coming with us. And Kirsty's like, whoa, not cool, guys. Party foul. So she is attempting to escape the Cenobites by backwards solving the puzzle box?
Yeah, putting it back together.
And as she solves varying pieces of the puzzle box, she manages to zap the Cenobites out of existence in questionable special effect. It's all right. It's 87. Whatever. I ain't hating on them.
It's no stuff.
And by this time, her boyfriend has come looking for her because he's just trying to figure out what happened. She's not at the hospital. What's going on? I'm worried. I'm sensitive. I want to be there in her time of need when demons are eating various members of her family.
Delicate.
So he shows up on the scene as the house is breaking apart around her from the sheer magnitude of evilosity that is exuding from this puzzle box. And we can see all the Cenobites, and they show up and they do some things. And even our good friend Two-Headed Scorpion Trolley Monster is there.
Inside out. Skinned.
Yeah. So she finally manages to, desolve the puzzle box, I guess?
Unsolve.
Which sends all the Cenobites back to hell. And I'm sketchy. I may or may not have fallen asleep for a minute here.
True.
I'm sorry, loyal listeners. I did not do my due diligence. Please direct all problems to SlaughterhousePrincessPodcast@gmail.com, which I will ignore things that I don't want to see and only pay attention to things that I feel are good for me.
No dick pics.
Not a lot of them. Some are acceptable.
Some.
Some. Not all.
Couple.
And did the house explode? Or
yeah, I remember her finding the box in rubble.
Okay, so the house did fall apart.
I'd say so. All that stuff happened, so.
And they go and take the box to burn it with fire.
Well, what else are you, going to burn it with water?
All right. You know, you win this round.
Ta-da.
So they throw it into a fire to burn it. And then some hobo-looking dude.
The guy that was eating crickets earlier that we didn't mention.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to spoil everything for the kids out there. Maybe not everybody's seen the Hellraiser.
Spoiler when it happened, though, but it happened a while ago.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
We good?
We good, Brian.
All right. You sure?
Yes.
All right. So Creepy Hobo Man jumps in the flyer to reclaim the puzzle box. And I'm excited that I can say is immolated for 2 weeks in a row.
Immolated.
Is immolated.
Comes up in horror movies. Immolation.
It turns into a pretty cool winged skeletal demon monster thing.
Yep.
And flies away with the puzzle box. And we close. Back in Morocco or wherever.
Wherever Mogwais are sold.
Where the guy who sells Mogwais is reselling the puzzle box for two filthy stacks of money to some other idiot.
With two filthy stacks.
Who apparently cannot think of anything better to do with two gross stacks of money besides all of that nonsense. And credits. And that, my dear friends, is a Hellraiser. More or less. Probably less.
We did pretty good. You get the point.
And I'd say, all in all, it's pretty good.
I dig it. It's one of my favorites from my youth.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely one of the better from the 80s?
Some aspects held up well, others did not. Storyline itself, and like we said, Pinhead. Pinhead's still a bad motherfucker. I mean, that's just not going to change.
I mean, I personally found the narrative to be somewhat confusing for the most part.
Yeah, the beginning of it jumped around a lot.
You don't get a
Once
lot of...
Once you get into the whole Frank drinking people juice, then it all just kind of plays out. And...
Well, you don't get a lot of backstory on the Cenobites and what they're about, which will happen in later installments of the franchise.
Well, they'll tell you way too much. Number two's good.
But I think
we may or may
not
do number two, but number two is good, but the rest are unnecessary.
I think it would have done it justice to have at least a kind of some sort of explanation.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have done without a little, take 5 minutes of stupid moving in hijinks and replace it with any kind of goddamned explanation as to why any of this is happening, and I think it would have been better for it.
True.
But I would say give it a watch if you've never seen it.
It's a good
And even if you have, watch
well,
it again.
I don't think we'd review bad movies.
Well, I guess it really just depends on who gets to pick what, because I got some
true
garbage floating around that I will make you watch.
And I like stuff that you hate.
And I hate stuff that you like.
And you'll get to listen to us argue.
Yeah. You're lucky that didn't just turn into a musical number all of a sudden.
True.
Or are you? No, I can't sing for shit.
True.
Yeah. I tried out for American Idol, and they were just like, no, you have to wait in line. How did you even get in here, man?
With a gun?
It's true.
True.
I had two, just in case.
You always gotta have two.
I don't trust that fucking Ryan Seacrest, man.
Everybody gets one. He's gonna take your guns!
I know. Always these are the rules about no handguns. It's illegal. You're supposed to be wearing pants.
Can't discharge a firearm nude. Rules.
I don't bow down to the man and his rules.
Fuck
I play
Whitey.
I play by my own rules.
For shizzle?
I won't be held down by your morals, standards,
and practices.
Basic code of decency. But yeah, Hellraiser, check it out.
Good times.
I think it's on. I watched it on Netflix, so you can always go that route.
Or buy it.
Or go to your favorite legitimate internet retailer.
Wink.
I'm sure you can find a copy there. Yeah, I'd say, hey kids, go ahead, check it out.
I give it 7.
I refuse to take part in arbitrary number system.
I don't even have a system, just a 7.
I give it 3 pinheads out of a Cenobite.
Well, that all adds up to 7, you big dummy. You dummy.
You're
such a dummy.
So next week, what's on tap is Lair of the White Worm, I believe.
Lair of the White Worm. That's an exciting ass movie.
I think it's a romantic comedy.
No.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's a horror movie.
If you haven't seen it, watch it, and then we'll tell you about it, guys.
But if you you have a movie you think maybe you'd like to have us do a little podcasting about,
viewer mail. Just write us a letter.
Want to see if we'll quote some dumb shit you wrote down in an email? Well, hit us up at slaughterhouseprincesspodcast@gmail.com, because I like to make sure you have to type as much as possible to send a correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess that'll wrap it up for episode number 2.
True.
As always, I'm Chris.
And I am Brett.
And, watch Hellraiser, you damn dummies.
Peace.